tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we're going to get to the tough news later in the hour, so let's start with some good news as we talk business news, get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn Pyburn in the house with us here every Monday morning, kicking off the 7 o'clock hour. Evelyn, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us here this morning. What's the good news you want to start with here this Monday?
Well, not long ago, it was announced that Billings Logan International Airport has been named the nation's seventh best airport for delivering a stress-free flying experience. It proved to be less chaotic and has more charm, according to Travel and Leisure's 2025 World's Best Awards. It was lauded for short lines, easy navigation. You don't need a map to find your way around the airport. Montana hospitality, they said the staff was genuinely warm and welcoming. Scenic views, stress-free parking, as well as good food and shopping. But it seems to me that our airport has always been like that. But maybe it's been discovered.
The new design is really nice. I mean, yeah. The restrooms are nice. The new coffee shop, it's really good coffee, too, by the way. So I always like that, you know, whenever you got to travel somewhere, if you can find some really good coffee. And then, at least the last time I was there, they still had that little robotic server. People could be, you could be sitting on, you know, sitting near the coffee shop, you know, 150 yards away from the little restaurant, and then all of a sudden you're doot, 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 and this little robot comes whizzing by delivering people food.
Yeah, it's the modernization or updates that they've done is really, really great, and but still, you know, the things that they really identified as being the reason for this award, you know, it's always been easy to figure your way around, or people have always been friendly there. And so, you know, it's just a dual thing where we have something new and great and all the good stuff from the past. But we've been, Billings Airport has been discovered for what it is, I think.
Yeah, if there's one frustrating thing, it, you know, pick up and drop off gets a little busy, and so people are doing the whole double parking kind of thing. So if you park next to the curb, prepare to get blocked in. But so that's a little annoying, because it's you're trying to get out of the airport and then you can't because everybody's blocking the way. But at least people are pretty good about it once they see you starting to try to get out of there. They do the whole wave and boot, scoot, and boogie, getting their vehicle out of the way. It seems like as much as possible. So still got that Montana good-natured attitude by most folks. All right, lots of business news to get to here. In fact, Friday I caught up with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, talked a lot of business. We aired that in the 9 o'clock hour of this show. And, of course, Evelyn Pyburn's got a lot in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here kicking off this Monday as well. So we'll start there, the economic outlook, news out of the EPA, and more.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few afternoon showers and storms developing around the area. Highs around 83 in Bozeman to 93 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, isolated showers and storms around mainly before midnight. Temperatures will then drop off into the upper 40s around 50 in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. August is National Breastfeeding Month, originally declared by the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee back in August of 2011, with a proclamation that read in part, "Each August, the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee hosts a social media advocacy and outreach campaign inviting member organizations, breastfeeding coalitions, partner organizations, and individuals to participate in online action and conversation about the policy and practice changes needed to build a landscape of support for babies and families. This year's theme is Forward Together, centering on unity, solidarity, and hope, and celebrating the strength and determination of organizations and advocates committed to advancing policy systems and environmental change in the first food field and improving access to human milk. You can get more information at usbreastfeeding.org, or for more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Evelyn Pyburn here with the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, Evelyn, I got a chance to catch up with Governor Greg Gianforte on Friday morning at the Governor's Cup with the Montana Chamber of Commerce, talking about all sorts of business news. You know, energy news. They had a big energy summit that I think Flathead Electric Cooperative put together there in the Flathead Valley. I got to go to the High Tech Business Alliance reception last Thursday in Kalispell as well, and great to see so many folks there. But you were at the you've been chatting about the Economic Outlook Seminar, the Bureau of Business and Economic Research. What have been some of the highlights that have been standing out to you?
Well, first off, it will be held here in Billings tomorrow morning, and but they've held it in a couple of other communities already, and so there are reports out about what Jeffrey Michael, who heads the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, has said, and according to his reports, economic growth is slowing in Montana, but the labor market remains extremely tight, which I know we've talked about before. In fact, labor availability may be the biggest constraint on our economic expansion in the state, as unaffordable housing has caused the population growth rate to drop to a 20-year low in the last year. Preliminary data for 2025 shows the total number of workers in Montana's labor force has started to decrease. There are 2 job openings for every unemployed worker in Montana, which is the highest ratio in the United States. Interestingly, the labor force is declining, even though the average wage in Montana increased 6.4% in 2024. The wage increase is well above the national average and more than double the rate of inflation. So I think those employers out there are really trying to get some employees. The wage gains were widespread in the state, with every major private industry sector having seen average wage gains in excess of 5%. It's important to note that while Montana wages have grown faster than the U.S. for the past 4 years, the average Montana job still pays 20% below the national average. Michael says that tariffs will have benefits for some sectors of the U.S. economy, especially manufacturing. However, a larger share of Montana's economy comes from industries like agriculture and construction, which face more challenges and will be challenged more by the tariffs. He said that unlike some analysts, he doesn't expect trade battles to have a major impact on the tourism industry in Montana, which people have been speculating about the tourism trade in Montana, saying that it's being impacted by a decline in the number of Canadian visitors. But He pointed out that only a small percentage of Montana tourism comes from Canada, which I found kind of surprising. I thought it was a greater amount, but he said only about 8% of non-resident Montana visitors are from Canada. And while Canadians are still coming, the BBR reports that their numbers have declined at every port of entry in Montana. And also, credit card spending by Canadians has declined by 37%. So that's, you know, that's a pretty big number.
Interesting. And I would expect the bulk of the Canadian visitors are probably in the Flathead Valley. You get a lot of the Lethbridge, Calgary folks that, you know, own second homes down there and have for years. You know, it's some of the people that still live on the lake are Canadians who've lived there for, you know, a long time. And, whereas you're seeing a lot of new faces moving in. What was the other thing that you said stood out to you?
Well, you know, he just commented that the population growth has slowed, as well as the number of visitors, but he goes that Montana's lifestyle is still valued. It's just a lot more expensive now. And you know, that's something I think we all have felt. But, you know, I'm sure that has an impact on some of the Canadians traveling, as it does most of us. You know, you look at your dollars and cents a lot more closely as you plan of even a weekend outing, you know?
That's a good point. If Montana is more expensive for us, it's also more expensive for them. And so that would make them adjust maybe some of their travel plans as well. What do you think of this new director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana? You know, because the previous director, he always did such a great job. He was always, you know, balanced. He was always fair and humble. What do you think of this new director?
Well, I can't say as though I've heard him talk. I mean, he seems very even-handed, I don't know how much the state is new to him, but I think so far it's so good. What I always appreciated about Dr. Barkey was he always pointed out the ramification, the nuances of the marketplace, and explained how things like, you know, the law of supply and demand, he was always explaining how the market really works and stuff. And
yeah,
I always think that's important too.
Yeah, Dr. Pat Barkey did a great job as always. Yeah, well, this Economic Outlook Seminar, go to economicoutlookseminar.com. They're in Billings Tuesday, Bozeman Wednesday, Butte also on Wednesday. That'll be a noontime event in Butte, and then Missoula on Thursday with a noontime event there. But yeah, go to economicoutlookseminar.com for the full schedule.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump didn't like the government's job numbers coming in at just 73,000 jobs added in July, so he shot the messenger. He fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Erica McIntyre, and said that these were fake numbers designed to make him look bad. A lot of blowback online saying this is what's done in a banana republic. And also there was a revision over the last couple of months, downward by 258,000. This is utterly routine, because as more data come in, there are routinely government officials deciding that the numbers were too high or too low. This has gone on for decades, but the president likes to shift the blame. He's not happy with the numbers. He gets rid of the messenger, and the blowback online and in the media has been substantial. The president is not happy. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Man, this is a crazy story out of Bozeman, Montana, although not that crazy when you think about how crazy the left-wing politics is there. A female firefighter and medic for the city of Bozeman lost her baby during an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman refused to grant her bereavement leave. And when she told them more about her story, they made the policy even worse. Check out that full audio on the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify or on the app.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
President Trump announced another series of recent trade deals, this time with the Republic of South Korea. He says the deal amounts to an investment of $350 billion in U.S. goods, which includes agriculture products. South Korea will also purchase an additional $100 billion in liquefied natural gas and other energy products. President Trump says U.S. goods will be traded with South Korea at a zero tariff rate, while South Korea will pay a 15% tariff on U.S. goods. The U.S. Grains Council says that Korea is the fifth largest trading partner in U.S. grains in all forms, with sales totaling $4.07 billion in the 2023 through 24 marketing year. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the U.S. Forest Service is investing over $106 million to support state and landowner efforts to conserve private working forest lands across the country. Funded through the Forest Legacy Program, the projects will protect forests vital to economic and social fabric of local communities, ensuring they remain productive working forests for Americans and tourists to use and enjoy. She says, just like farms and ranches, working forests are part of the backbone of rural America, providing jobs, timber, clean water, and places for families to hunt, fish, camp, hike, and make lifelong memories. That's a look at today's Ag News. I'm Lane Nordland. Have a great day.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, speaking of trade, yeah, there was, we actually have this audio ready to roll. We could maybe share it here in just a few minutes. But Joe Concha, a political analyst on Fox News, says that if Trump's tariff bets pay off, Republicans could gain in the U.S. House in 2026. And most of his tariff bets are paying off right now. Let me see the tweet that I saw here, the post on X that gives a good summary. All right, I'll have to find that one in a little bit. Oh, yeah, here we go. National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett said this. We have eight deals that cover about 55% of world GDP with our biggest trading partners, the EU, Japan, Korea, and more. For the deals that are not ready yet, they are going to get the reciprocal rates. And Evelyn Piber and I saw that Canada, the far left leadership in Canada, is still messing around, still playing games. In a few minutes, I'm going to share some audio from Stephen Moore, who's the head of the Committee to Unleash Prosperity on trade with Canada and more. But yeah, any other stories you wanted to get to here this morning?
Well, one of the things I think we maybe mentioned a little bit last week was the fact that the Environmental Protection Agency has proposed revoking a scientific finding that essentially underlies most of the green regulations on business in the United States. The revoking of that would it's been called the greatest deregulatory action in American history, according to the EPA Administrator, Lee Zeldin. He said that there are people who, in the name of climate change, are willing to bankrupt the country. And the finding enables the government to put all these regulations on vehicles and airplanes and other, you know, like what kind of stove we can use in our kitchen. All of these regulations on how we live our lives and the restrictions was unleashed basically by this regulation that they want to rescind. And some of the industry organizations have estimated that by removing this, they could repeal laws that reduce the cost of regulations on American consumers by $54 billion. So it has, I mean, not that we didn't know it, but during the Biden administration, with all of the regulations and costs imposed on the production of things, you know, that's part of the reason for our costs going up so much. And $54 billion would be kind of a nice tax break.
Yeah, that's right. I saw there's a liberal publication, the Montana Free Press, has this headline that ties into that as well, because President Trump has been speaking out very aggressively against these wind farms. Political headwinds turn against wind farms in southeast Montana. How a $1.8 billion energy project ran afoul of federal and local blowback. I think people have finally had enough. They know that the threat to reliability, to our grid, they don't want to destroy the big, you know, beautiful big sky of Montana. That's what eastern Montana is especially known for. They don't want these things destroying their view. And then not to mention the other repercussions. But, yeah, I spoke with Governor Greg Gianforte. We talked about unleashing Montana energy, unleashing American energy, not just about coal and hydro, et cetera. But also, you know, one thing that came up was biomass. And, hey, we need to be, you know, restoring our forests with these fuel health efforts. But, hey, once we pull those logs out of there, why not use it for biomass energy as well? And so he talked about some of the things they're doing at Stoltz Lumber right there in Columbia Falls.
Yeah, and it's not just in Montana. I mean, I've been reading stuff all over the world. Wind energy is being challenged and questioned. And, you know, something we don't pay a lot of attention to, but in France a few months ago, they had extensive blackouts because of the lack of, you know, ability to depend on alternative energies like wind and solar. And so, you know, they have caused a lot of havoc in the world, and people are taking another look at it. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, Evelyn, a great report as always. She's also got more in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, early education, and how Montana scores. You can read about that. Plus, they're now in the United States, another illegal migrant. A flesh-eating fly is making its way from South America into the United States, if you haven't heard about that one yet. Evelyn Pyburn, appreciate your time as always. Thanks so much for joining us here on Montana Talks. Every Monday here kicking off the 7 o'clock hour. Okay, Canada and trade and what Stephen Moore has to say about all of that. We'll get to that here in 60 seconds since it ties into the conversation. And then Attorney General Austin Knutson joins us here live in just a quick few minutes. Governor Greg Gianforte joined us on Friday's Montana Talks live from the Governor's Cup in Columbia Falls. And he was talking about energy, coal, you know, hydro, you name it, as well as nuclear. And then I said, yeah, one of the truckers that I spoke with that I ran into for Thursday's show from Kalispell, he came and chatted with me after the program. He says, you know, I was at this energy conference that Flathead Electric put on, and one of the things they brought up also was biomass. So here's what the governor had to say about what they're doing with regard to biomass in particular.
Right here in Columbia Falls, Stoltz has a cogeneration plant. They take the wood chips out of the sawmill, and they're generating 2 to 3 megawatts of power that they use themselves. They use the excess heat to cure the wood, and they put some of the power back on the grid. We have, if we want a timber industry in Montana, we need a way to get rid of the chips. One thing to do with them is generate electricity.
All right. Yeah, full audio on the Montana Talks app. Back to this U.S.-Canada trade talks. Why is it that the EU brokered a deal with Trump and the United States, the Australians brokered a deal, the Koreans brokered a deal, but what's up with these far left-wing leaders in Canada? Gernal Scott with Fox News Radio says that Canadian leaders are say that they hope to continue to find ways to work with the U.S. on a better trade relationship. But anyway, what's the deal with Canada and trade? Why does Canada want to keep, you know, tariffing us, and but then they get mad if we want to tariff them in return?
Look, we like Canada. I love Canada. I have so many friends in Canada, but they've been very poorly led.
That's true. Tell me why this is happening.
Well, Canada has had protectionist trade policies. We're supposed to have a free trade agreement with Canada, yeah. And yet what the president said is true, that they do, for example, our dairy products, sometimes mm-hmm. they can put
up to 400%.
Of over 100% on yeah. those. And so I'm sort of surprised that Canada has been so recalcitrant here. Mm-hmm. And let's get this deal done. I mean, it's in everybody's interest. You stop your tariff barriers. We'll lower our tariffs on you. I'm a big believer. This was the Reagan vision that Canada, Mexico, and the United States should be one free trade zone. But as Trump is saying, they're cheating, and he's not going to take that anymore. So Canada is going to have to make some big decisions. They have to trade with the United States.
Right.
I mean, Canada's whole economy is dependent on having access to our $20 trillion consumer market.
And our
All right, that was Stephen Moore, who, of course, used to be on the Wall Street Journal editorial board. He was a 2016 Trump economic advisor, and now he's got the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And by the way, Scott Miller in Billings first shared that Unleash Prosperity hotline with me, and it is a must-read newsletter every day. In fact, our producer, Caden, will print it up for us every day so that we've got it here in the studio. Always has some incredible information. Stephen Moore also weighed in on the firing of the director of the Bureau of Labor Statistics and made some great points. If we have time, we'll get to that a little later this hour. First up, though, right after the break, Attorney General Austin Knutson with the latest on the manhunt for the Anaconda shooting suspect.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I know we've got so many great listeners in Anaconda, and I know everybody all across the state of Montana just has you in their thoughts and prayers ever since this horrific shooting took place Friday. Yeah, authorities are still searching for Michael Brown, the main suspect in the shooting that took the lives of four people at a bar in the town of Anaconda, Montana, on Friday. The victims of the deadly shooting have now been identified as law enforcement continues to search for the gunman. Now, this was the report that was shared around 6 o'clock last night by Gernal Scott with Fox News Radio, and then we'll get the latest from Attorney General Austin Knutson here right after that.
Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson said three patrons of the Owl Bar in Anaconda, David Leach, Daniel Bailey, and Tony Palm, as well as the bartender Nancy Kelly, were shot and killed. He said the suspected gunman, Michael Paul Brown, seen unclothed in a surveillance photo, is still not in custody and may have access to clothes and a car.
The vehicle he ended up grabbing was loaded full of equipment. It was not his vehicle. It was a stolen vehicle, but there was camping equipment in it. We believe there was some clothing in it.
Brown's family said the Army veteran struggled for years with mental illness. He's considered dangerous. Events in the area have been canceled as the search goes on. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
And, of course, Attorney General Austin Knutson now joining us live right here on Montana Talks. Attorney General Knutson, before I throw anything out there, what do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Good morning, Aaron. What I want folks to know is that this has been just a tremendous law enforcement response in Anaconda. I was down there for most of the day yesterday into the night, well over 250 individuals from different agencies, not just across the state, across the counties, but we had a large federal presence there. The FBI and their tactical team was there. Big help. National Guard had helos in the air. I want to thank Two Bear Air from up in Kalispell. Two Bear Air came down last night, and they were flying their helicopter with thermal equipment on board to look for this individual in the dark. So we are absolutely throwing every resource we have at capturing Michael Paul Brown. We had a couple of promising sightings yesterday. We got a pretty good idea. We think we know where he is, but unfortunately, he was able to slip us several times yesterday.
Yeah, I know the U.S. Marshals Service is offering a reward of $7,500 for any information that leads to the arrest or capture of Michael Brown, the suspect here. We've got the photograph of the suspect as he was fleeing the Owl Bar in Anaconda on our Montana Talks website right now. Any areas that people, I know, well, first off, just how are our friends in Anaconda doing? I know the whole community was on edge, and, you know, of course, even on up to Georgetown Lake, where a lot of people were probably camping and boating and enjoying the weekend, and some businesses had to shut down apparently as well.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting, Aaron. Last night at about 5 o'clock, I ran down the hill. We went to Peppermint Patties and had a burger. The amount of support coming from across the country is just stunning. I was talking to the owners of Peppermint Patties right there on the east edge of town. They've got donations coming in from across the country, and it's to feed law enforcement. They literally sent me back up to the command center with almost a dozen hamburgers just to feed officers. So the local outpouring of support, the national outpouring of support has been just fantastic. But yeah, look, I was talking to those same folks, and they said several of their employees didn't come into work that day because they're concerned about safety. I know that it was tough to find a restaurant that was working yesterday. Now, I know it was Sunday, but this is definitely having an effect on the town of Anaconda.
Yeah, so at this point, you do still believe that the suspect is alive. Are there any places where people should be particularly on the lookout? Any idea which direction he may have gone?
Well, we're focused on the area directly west of Anaconda, up on the mountain. It's not even that far up the mountain. He staffs the vehicle that he took, abandoned it up Stumptown Road. If you're from the area, you know where that's at. It's not far outside of town. We believe he's still relatively close in that area. Now, look, I had to pull out last night. I don't know what transpired over the night and into the wee hours. I was still kicking, going at about 1:30 this morning, but as of then, I have not had any update that things had changed. So we believe he's in that area, just west of town. Again, a couple credible sightings. I said several a few minutes ago. That's not accurate. I haven't had enough coffee yet this morning. But we did have a couple of credible sightings by law enforcement. But look, that's tough country over there. It's incredibly dense. The undergrowth, the trees, you know, a lot of keyboard warriors that are talking about, oh, well, why didn't they just? Why haven't they just? Folks, we are putting every asset at our disposal up there. We've got canine teams up there. We've got infrared up in the air. That canopy and that cover and that undergrowth is so thick. That the thinking was, I mean, we're almost literally going to have to step on him to get him to come out. Again, did have a couple credible sightings yesterday. We do believe he's still there. I personally spoke to one of the Eastern Montana Sheriff deputies who came all the way over from Petroleum County. But he had a very, very credible sighting, but was in such thick cover down there that he didn't have an opportunity to engage. But in any case, we think he's still right there close in that area.
Interesting. I saw the Montana Television Network had a story where the family of the shooting suspect who shot and killed four people at the Owl Bar in Anaconda, and there's surveillance video or a photo of that, and he's basically walking out in his underwear, in his boxers, and no shoes, not even carrying a gun or anything. But they're saying that apparently he suffered significant mental health challenges, including schizophrenia. And so that's, which I'm sure adds a whole nother layer to this equation.
It does, Aaron. Yeah. So, I mean, those reports are not quite accurate. He was clothed when he came into the Owl Bar at about, it wasn't quite 10:40 in the morning. On Friday, we do know he was known to those folks. He lived literally right next door to the Owl Bar. Well, that's where his residence is. Sounds like most people around town knew this guy. No, you know, he's a known commodity. After he committed the murders, he was able to get down an alley, get into another building within the vicinity. And at that time, he ditched his clothes and tried to escape, and that's where he stole the vehicle. But that's where that photograph you've seen floating around on the internet came from. That was him fleeing out the back door of a residence after he ditched his clothing. We do believe he was able to reclothe himself in the vehicle that he took. There was a brief pursuit by law enforcement. Unfortunately, there were a couple of identical vehicles, and with all the dust and the dirt roads, the law enforcement weren't quite sure which one was him. So briefly, lost him, but he was quickly reengaged and got up in that Stumptown Road area. But yeah, listen, the mental health aspect, I'm obviously, you and I have known each other for a lot of years, Aaron. I know you're a veteran. Mental health and PTSD are certainly something we're sympathetic about. But look, I know a lot of veterans who don't walk into an establishment at 10 o'clock in the morning and mercilessly and in cold blood murder four people who are having their morning coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
This is just a horse of an entirely different color.
Well, and that's why you wonder, okay, was this a schizophrenic episode or any idea what the, nothing could justify what he did, but this senseless violence and sounds like just, you know, some of the folks hearing some of the stories were just beloved people, but any idea what the motive may have been here or anything like that? Obviously, right now, though, the full effort is focused on finding this shooting suspect first and foremost.
We don't know motive yet, Aaron. We just don't know these things yet. We do know this individual. There are some history of drug use. Just from my time as a prosecutor, and this is entirely speculative, but, you know, I think it's likely he's under the influence of something. I can tell you, just again, from my own experience, people on methamphetamine do crazy things, and yes, it can trigger some schizophrenic episodes. I have personally seen that individual that I've prosecuted, but that's speculation on my part. We cannot confirm that. We don't know what this individual had in his system, if he had anything. We don't know what he was able to take up on the mountain with him, or if he still has access to drugs, if he's using them up there. We don't know the answers to these questions yet.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Attorney General Austin Knutson with us. If you have to run, AG Knutson, feel free. Totally understand. Or if you got more to share, feel free to stick around. And we'll come back to you right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks. All right. Stand by. You can also message us, by the way, on the Montana Talks app if you have a quick question or comment as well.
What if an appliance emergency didn't have to be? If your appliances suddenly decided they were done, don't stress. Best Buy has you covered with a wide variety of major appliances from trusted brands, in stock and available now. So you don't have to worry about laundry piling up, refilling the fridge, or that big dinner party you're hosting. Because Best Buy has the knowledge and expertise to get you the right appliance for your home. Learn more at BestBuy.com. Best Buy. Imagine that.
Fox News commentary.
The ridiculous rage campaign against Sydney Sweeney for her jeans continues. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's Will Kane Country.
The two guys on Trigonometry say we can't even get leftists to come onto our podcast. I know that I have trouble booking leftists for debate because they don't want to debate. They don't want to converse. They want to enforce their viewpoint.
Watch it live at noon Eastern Monday through Thursday at FoxNews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Y'all, I thought the woke rage campaign against Sydney Sweeney and American Eagle over the harmless jeans ad would be reserved for keyboard warriors, but no. Even ABC's Good Morning America dedicated a whole segment to discussing the concerning message of celebrating the jeans of a white woman with blue eyes and blonde hair. Mainstream media has totally bought into the ridiculous narrative that featuring a white female actress who, by all accounts, is Hollywood's it girl, but also happens to be white, blonde, and blue-eyed, is somehow promoting white supremacy. But the message they're really sending is, if you're white and blonde and blue-eyed, you don't get to be proud of that. You don't get to show it off. You must be ashamed of it or downplay it as much as possible to appease the woke mob. Hollywood decided Sydney Sweeney was the it girl of the moment. And last time I checked, Hollywood certainly doesn't take its marching orders from MAGA or conservatives or Donald Trump. Take it up with the movie execs or better yet, get a grip. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few afternoon showers and storms developing around the area. Highs around 83 in Bozeman to 93 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, isolated showers and storms around mainly before midnight. Temperatures will then drop off into the upper 40s around 50 in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Man, this is a crazy story out of Bozeman, Montana, although not that crazy when you think about how crazy the left-wing politics is there. A female firefighter and medic for the city of Bozeman, lost her baby during an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman refused to grant her bereavement leave. And when she told them more about her story, they made the policy even worse. Check out that full
family. Men, women, and kids in all your favorite Skechers styles. Try Skechers slippers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Attorney General Austin Knutson had to run, but the one other thing that I wanted to add here, and again, I think we're putting the cart before the horse here to a certain extent, because right now, of course, all efforts are focused on locating and detaining this Anaconda shooting suspect. But when it comes to the whole, you know, was he schizophrenic or were there drugs involved? Like if, you know, because you're already hearing people saying, hey, we got to have a conversation about, you know, getting people with mental health struggles, severe mental health struggles that are a threat to society, a threat to themselves and the public. We've got to get them off the streets and we've got to get them help. And it ties in with the homelessness debate as well. They're already focused on that right now. President Trump has already taken some heat because he is saying, look, we have got to revisit this idea of just leaving crazy people out on the streets. And from the state of Montana's perspective, look, Governor Greg Gianforte and the state legislature are doubling down on getting more funding, not only for our corrections system, for more prison capacity and more capacity in our jails, but also for more mental health funding and to rebuild some of the mental health services that got demolished by the last administration, and more investments in Warm Springs and things like that. So not only are those conversations already happening, but those actions are already happening as well. All right, let's see. We're just about out of time here this hour of the show. Stephen Moore, what did he have to say about President Trump firing the director of the Bureau of Labor Statistics? He was on Fox News over the weekend. We heard what he had to say about trade with Canada earlier. Here's what he has to say about President Trump firing the director of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who, by the way, over a year ago, remember when you'd see all these headlines? Oh, revised numbers. Revised statistics out of the BLS. They were constantly revising their statistics. So either they were revising them to help Joe Biden and Kamala, or they're just really bad at their job.
Well, I don't think that this woman was political. I think she was calling the balls and strikes as well as she could. But Kevin Hassett is right that they're not calling the balls and strikes very well. Yeah. I mean, this was one of the biggest. I've been following these numbers for 30 years, Kevin. This is one of the biggest. You know, we're seeing this swaying of the numbers up and down, up and down. They are increasingly unreliable. And Kevin Hassett is also right that these are important numbers in terms of gauging the health of the economy. So something has to be done to fix the way that we are measuring how many jobs are created, because the numbers are not reliable right now.
Even the Wall Street Journal seemed perplexed at what happened there. And I must say, you make an excellent point. I've been watching these numbers for 30 years, and I've never seen anything like it. By the way, we've had all these revisions downward previous to the Biden numbers, and it just doesn't seem to make sense. And I'm trying to put a cap on it, and I just can't figure out why they're so wrong so often.
So I'll give you one hint to that, which is that I've taught my sources over at the BLS are telling me this is all survey. I don't want to get too much in the weeds.
Sure.
But they do surveys of businesses and households. I mean, who's working? How many people are you employing? And the response on these surveys keeps going down over time, especially post-COVID, especially because people have cell phones. They don't even know what people's phone numbers are.
Sure.
And so it used to be we had a high response rate. Now we have a much lower response rate, and that makes the numbers statistically much less reliable.
All right, there you go. Stephen Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity on Fox over the weekend. Hey, if you missed it in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, go back and listen to the podcast with Tom Opry, the filmmaker who produced The Real Yellowstone and included Montana ranchers in that conversation that are so often left out of that conversation. But we were talking about, hunting and cattle ranching and even bison ranching and just how healthy that protein source is, how healthy that food source is. And that's featured prominently in the film, as any hunter would know, as any rancher would know, right? But you know it as well, because you've heard me talk about Billings' Last Diet. And good protein, the ideal amount of protein, is front and center. If you want to lose the weight, you want to burn that fat, You want to maintain your muscle mass. You want to stay healthy. That's what it's all about. That's why it's an ideal protein-based program. And not only is it in Billings, but you can be outside of Billings and benefit from the Billings Last Diet remote option. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.